Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Welcome to Sunday Night Live.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Hoorah. Your comfort zone is an enemy of your future, a hindrance to your success, and a stumbling block to your destiny. Now, for years, I've talked against or trying to get people out of their comfort zone. But tonight, I felt led to talk about it a little more. Because if you stay in your comfort zone, you will never surpass your current reality.
Think of that.
In other words, where you are right now is where you'll stay, as long as you stay where you're comfortable. There are 7 ways to get out of your comfort zone. Number 1, realize why you are where you are. If you're working the same job, in the same position you were 10 years ago, if you're still paying off the same debts, might be time for a little self-examination. A man named Max Dupree, who founded Herman Miller Office Supply, he said one time, "We cannot become what we want to be by remaining what we are." That's a strong statement, and it's really true. You got to know why you are, where you are. Is it fear? Is it a desire to be comfortable in your surroundings and the things that you do on a daily basis? Is that why it's that way? If you don't like where you are, why in the world would you continue living there? That's just common sense. Some people... There's a variety of reasons. Some people continue to live in a comfort zone because they're, lazy. But you got to know, God doesn't do laziness. Mm-mm. He doesn't like laziness.
And they got comfortable. That's and they why got they're comfortable. In that comfort zone. But 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 and 7, this is in the Living Bible, says, "Now here is a command, dear brothers, given in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ by his authority. Stay away from any Christians who spend his days in laziness and does not follow the ideal of hard work we set up for you." That same scripture, 2 Thessalonians 3:11 in the Living Bible says, you are absolutely right. This is actually not even the next one, it's 3:11 in the Living Bible. It says, "Yet we hear that some of you are living in laziness, refusing to work, and wasting your time in gossiping."
Never be too lazy to read a book.
Yeah.
Because increasing your knowledge and value, because it just increases your worth in the marketplace, the workplace, the home place, everywhere.
That's right.
And reading takes you to a whole new dimension.
It does.
But see, some are lazy, and then some justify being in a comfort zone because of excuses. Now, if there's one thing God doesn't like more than laziness, it's people who make excuses.
And the same thing with Harold. He doesn't like it either.
I don't like excuses. Excuses by nature imply limitations or an inability to break through the barriers of life. God does not impose limitations on us. He does not. Especially if we're obeying his instructions. And see, sometimes his instructions are not limitations. They're guidelines for success.
That's right.
Sadly, many imagined limitations that people have are self-imposed. Self-imposed, self-maintaining. That's what they are.
Proverbs 22, verse 13 in the Living Bible says, "The lazy man is full of excuses. I can't go to work," he says. "If I go outside, I might meet a lion in the street and be killed." I always love that one. I guess they probably did meet lions back then, but still. Anyway, Romans 3:19 in the Classic Amplified Bible. "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that the murmurs and excuses of every mouth may be hushed and all the world may be held accountable to God." That'd be lovely.
It would be. Regardless of why you are, where you are, once you realize you're accountable to God, it's time to pack your bags and move out of your comfort zone, whether it's a five-star resort or not. You just don't get in the comfort zone. But you see, this whole point of this one, why you are where you are. Sometimes we're there simply because that's the way it's always been. That's the way it was when we got out of high school or college, or, you know.
People don't like change. No. However, if we're
like
not changing, we're...
I like the kind that happens around me and the kind I put in my pocket. That's a little joke.
I know it is.
Number two. I'm feeling it tonight.
Oh, boy.
Let go of what's holding you back.
Amen.
If you don't face your fears, they'll keep growing. They will. If you don't face what you perceive to be inadequacies in your life, they'll be magnified.
That's it. If you're wondering what people think, if you, you know, fail in an endeavor or whatever, if you think you're going to fail or whatever, you're worried about the wrong person as to who you need to be concerned about if you're failing. And you really need to be more concerned about what God thinks than anybody else in your whole circle of influence.
Or in your neighborhood.
That's it.
Or hood. Anywhere.
Or under the hood. Don't get that all over me. Okay? Mark 7, verses 8 through 10 in the New International Version. You have to let go of the... Okay. You have to let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. And he said to them, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. Of course, this is Jesus talking to the Pharisees and I'm sure the Sadducees.
There comes a point. You go ahead. I'm
no, sorry. That's fine.
I could see you were about to say something.
No, but point is, you can get, this actually is a great example of getting comfortable. They were comfortable doing all their traditions. They weren't, this was the way it was, quote, that they grew up with, this is the way to be godly, but is that really the word? The point is, everything has to be checked out in the word, or perhaps we're not even doing the right things.
There's going to come a time when you realize that what you've been doing is not working. You need to let it go, shake it up, change what you're doing, and do something else. A really good friend of ours named John Mason, a great wordsmith, author, he has a book called Let Go, Stop, and Let Go of What's Holding You Back.
There you go.
That's a great little book. And he has, his first book was called An Enemy Called Average.
Yeah. Because see, a lot of people are just happy to be, you know, as long as the neighbors and everybody, reminds me of people that, you know, that we've lived next to, you know, it's like as long as everything is status quo, as long as they're doing as good as you are and you're, you know, then everybody's kind of happy. But when you start to move up or start to move out or you get into something and you start to take off, well, then it's uncomfortable, you know, because, well, you're kind of showing that you're doing better than they are. We're not in competition with other people. We're just trying to go into the next stage of our lives, you know, and then you come in to not settle in for the rest of your life, but to go places and do things. And when you're reading the word, you're going to go places and you're going to do things. It should be a natural progression.
Part of this too is just expecting God to show you. We're going to come to number three now. Try something new. Forget old, borrowed, and blue.
Unless you're getting married.
In the Star Trek TV series and movies, it was always said that the Starship Enterprise going where no man had ever gone before.
And that stirred young people.
It did.
I think. Going where no man had ever gone before.
See, it's time to forget the way things used to be done.
That's it.
Or have never been done. Because there's such a shift in our society now that makes things different.
Yeah, boy.
I can tell you this. Mm. If you limit yourself by your past, you'll always be blue. You really will. You'll never be happy. In fact, I could make that into a country and western song.
But you're not going to, right?
Well, I started to write it, and I Googled it. Then I found out a country singer named Leanne Rimes had a song called Blue. Mm. And so I decided she'd...
You let her have it, huh?
I did. I didn't want to give her any competition. It took me about 30 seconds to realize, as I read the lyrics, that I didn't need to be doing that. So, anyhow. One thing is required for you to move out of your comfort zone. Mm. You have to stop looking in the rearview mirror of your life.
That's right.
I looked it up.
We've definitely preached that before.
We have. I looked it up. Over 8 years ago, January 12th, 2010.
Wow.
I wrote a teaching inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Entitled, Stop Looking in Your Rearview Mirror.
That's right.
Years ago. A little more. Truthfully, God gave me such an anointed teaching on that I even took notes myself.
You're funny.
I know, but it was good.
It was.
And still
good.
Is
it
good.
It is good. It is good, and it's so.
But there's one important. Particular scripture in that teaching we want to share with you.
It's in Luke 9, verse 62. This is in the New Century Version. Jesus said, anyone who begins to plow a field but keeps looking back is of no use in the kingdom of God. He's looking for people who are forward-looking people, moving from glory to glory. Hallelujah.
I posted that once on Facebook, and a lady commenting, she said, you shouldn't write that. You're so negative. I said, take it up with Jesus.
He's the take one it up with
the Lord. It's in the Bible. You know, maybe you're upset. Well, I said, well, I won't go there.
That's
just
good.
Think about it.
Good.
That's what I told her. Some folks never move out of a comfort zone because they're comfortable in their sins. They're comfortable. Well, let me say it this way. Comfortable in their sins of the past. Some people just live there. Some people want to live in the past. Some people are praying, God, make yesterday better. He's not going to make yesterday better.
That's right.
But he will give you a new tomorrow.
Amen.
I mean, I've literally had people tell me that in meetings. Brother Harold, would you pray that God would make what's going on in my past better? Why? It's past.
There's no way.
I know.
And God is not the great I was. He's not the great I will be. He is the great I am, which is right now and what's happening now. And anything that needs to be changed, we change by the decisions we make today to be able to live a better tomorrow.
I'm going to tell you this. This next scripture you're about to read.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
Will make you shout and buy you a ticket straight out of your past.
There you go.
Make you want to do that.
Personalize it if
two
you
of
need
them.
To.
Isaiah, two translations.
Yeah, two translations. This is where I got my translations. Isaiah 43, verse 25 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, oh, you're going to love this. I am he who blots out and cancels your transgressions for my own sake. Thank you, Lord. And I will not remember your sins. I will not remember your sins.
I underlined that in the outline. Mm-hmm. Need to get a hold of that.
That's it.
I will not remember.
He's not the one, and you don't need to be remembering if he's not remembering.
That's it.
The Message Bible translation of that verse, Isaiah 43:25, says, yes, but I am the one who takes care of your sins. That's what I do. That's why Jesus came. That's what I do. I don't keep a list of your sins. So if he's forgiven and forgotten, then we need to forgive and forget.
He can't
keep going forward.
Bring them up.
That's right.
If something you've done in the past comes up, it's not God bringing it up.
That's right.
Because he not only forgives it, he forgot it. So if it's coming up, he's not bringing up your past. But the enemy of your future, your destiny,
yeah,
will.
And maybe
other
people.
And he'll do it to create confusion and
right.
chaos and
but
all
me,
kinds of
let me tell you something. This is for somebody, I'm sure. If somebody else is bugging you a lot about that, don't let it bother you. Because when they see it doesn't bother you anymore, then they're going to give it up and leave it alone. Don't let it be something that somebody can push your buttons over. Because it's gone. It's past. You're forgiven.
Somebody says, well, I remember the way you used to be. Say, well, I praise God. I'm thankful he doesn't.
That's right.
God doesn't remember the way I used to be.
And I'm not that way
but
anymore.
He's excited about who I am today.
Amen.
And what I'm doing.
Hallelujah.
Make you shout and get up and run around the place.
That's it. I'm sure of it.
Philippians.
He does not give us, he doesn't give a list, he doesn't keep a list, he doesn't keep a list. Philippians 3 verses 13 through 15 in the New King James Version. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. If anybody had something to be forgiven of, it would have been Paul, the Apostle Paul. But he would have never been able to accomplish all he did if he had not just let go of his past and went on with his future.
I'm going to take a small diversion for a second. In theaters currently, there's a movie about Samson.
Oh, yeah.
There's one coming in mid-March about Paul and Jim Caviezel, who played Jesus in The Passion of the Christ, plays Luke in that movie. Also in March, there's a movie about the story of the guy who wrote From Mercy Me, that wrote I Can Only Imagine.
Oh, what a song. Woo! Holy
one, two, bumps. Three really great Christian movies.
Yes.
That people need to see.
Exactly.
Go see them. And because the more we support it, the more they'll be made.
That's right.
And that's a good thing.
It is. That's an excellent thing, and an excellent thing to do if you like going to the movies. So that's good.
Yep. Well, we need to move out of the comfort zone so that God can do something new.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about the past.
That's right.
Get excited about the future. When you wake up in the morning, Father, I thank you. I'm excited for this day.
Mm.
You're going to do something in this day, supernatural. Mm-hmm. You're going to allow me to speak a word in season to encourage somebody. You're going to stir godly idea in my mind.
Amen.
Not just a good idea, but a godly
idea.
And I think about it.
Mm-mm.
Hallelujah.
I love the scripture that encourages you on that. I love this scripture, and it's so timely any day of the week. Isaiah 43, verse 19, this is in the New Living Translation. For I am about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. There is nothing our God cannot do.
Here's what you need to know. He can't do something new as long as you're staying where you are. You got to want to move up.
That's right.
And out and on.
When he's...
Somebody made a quote. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Somebody years ago, anonymous. He makes a lot of quotes. But he said, a ship in a harbor is safe, but that's not what a ship's built for.
That's right.
Not to be in the harbor.
You know, there's a proverb actually somewhere where it says, a stall with no oxen or something like that is clean, but it also creates no harvest. So really and truly, I should have looked that one up, but it just came to me. So the point of it is, you know, it's not a matter of just playing safe. And a lot of times if people have come out of a rugged background, they want to play everything safe. They want to feel like they're in control. They want to be able to, you know, make sure that every, you know what, God didn't create us that way. And the whole, your whole life is in upheaval until you learn that your peace is really based in Him. Because there may be storms going on all around you, and there always will be. But when we learn that our peace and our well-being is all in Him, then we can weather every storm.
You're right.
We know that it's going to be okay.
That's
because
good.
We know Him. And He's the one, you know, who'll give us that peace of mind. It's when we lose our peace that you want to get back in the Word until you get your peace so that you can go on.
Number four. Good habits will move you up and out.
Okay.
Bad habits will bring you down.
There you go.
What's a habit? Simply something you do so often, it becomes easy. That's what a habit is. In other words, it's a behavior that you keep repeating.
Right.
Now, negative habits breed negative consequences. Successful habits or positive habits breed successful rewards. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to ponder a question. And you may not answer it now, but I want you to ponder it and write it down. But I want you to think before you answer it. And you might even want to write down several possibilities and then rank them in order of importance. This is how they would help you fulfill your vision and make 2018 your year of deliverance.
Yes.
From any and everything that's holding you back.
Amen.
But here's the question. What one habit would you like to have more than anything else? What one habit? Conversely, ask yourself, what one habit do you have that you'd like to get rid of?
There you go.
Now, it might be more than one in each of those two. It's actually two questions. But the point is, what one habit?
And in addition, if you're wanting to do something, I sometimes we're too, sometimes we want everything to be like fast food, like right now and yesterday. But when you have something going on in your life and you have something that really needs to be changed, it needs to be moved, it has to be, I put it on my prayer list and then I bring it before the Lord every day. I go, Lord, what do you think I can do about this? What do you think that, how can I make this better? Whatever the situation might be. I keep it in a little prayer list and every day I commit it to the Lord. I commit it to the Lord and I commit it to the Lord. And eventually, and it may not be, it may take months, you know, but eventually it starts to come together for me, some sooner than others. But the thing of it is just keep committing your opportunities. We don't call them problems, opportunities to overcome. Just keep committing them to the Lord and eventually it comes about and it brings about. And I think that's, you know, that's important. The point of it is to keep it before the Lord. In Job 22, verse 26, it says in the Amplified Bible, you shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways. You might say, well, how does that? You know, if you keep saying this needs to be done, I need to have a change in my life in this way. You know, you're decreeing and declaring something. And as you're, you know, it eventually gets to where it's rooted and he starts to move certain things or certain things. And it comes about where, you know, the clarification comes and it helps you to take that step and keep doing it.
It does.
I mean, things change, but
I wrote down on the outline the first step to establishing a new habit is to make a decision.
There you go.
You have to purpose in your heart that you're going to start acting in that way 100% of the time.
There you go.
And the second step is simply to do it for 21 days in a row. Work at it. Don't give up. Even when you aren't perfect, practice until you are perfect, or just keep going.
Getting better.
Because studies show if you do something 21 days in a row, it becomes a habit. In fact, I have a book, Spiritual Entrepreneur, 21 Day Guide to Success. It tells you what to do for 21 days. Life-changing book. Life-changing. Here's what we need to know. What do you want to say?
Yeah, I was going to say, when we moved here, and that was, gracious, how long ago? Be almost 4 years since I came over. And it's like, I really, I had a habit. This is what I was talking about, habits. If you want to develop a good habit, sometimes things get changed for you. Like, I moved. And I'd been in, you know, an exercise program. I'd been in Pilates, really, for 10 years, over 10 years. And everything I tried here didn't work. I mean, I would go, it was either during the call, our Rich Talks for Breakfast, or, you know, anything. Everything I was doing just wasn't working. But recently, I mean, it was like, I kept saying, Lord, I know there's something out there for me. Lord, I know that. And this is part of one of the things that came to me that I've been putting before the Lord. And at the end of, what is this, February? At the end of January, I've been praying about it for a long time. The Lord gave me a little system to do at home first thing in the morning, and I mean first thing in the morning. So, you know, that is actually what I've been doing. You were talking about 21 days. I think it's been over 21 days now, every day doing my little regime. So it took me a long time, but I knew it would be good for my health. I knew it would be something I had to get back into. It was something I didn't want to lose. And that may seem like a small thing, but believe me, it was big to me, because when you're developing good habits, and this is the point I really want to make. I actually heard a preacher talk about this. You know, when you're doing something all the time, it becomes who you are. And if it's a good thing that is to become who you are, like it is a life-changing thing, it is a good habit, it is eating well, or, you know, doing enough exercise to keep you healthy, etc., then that's the kind of thing you want to develop and never lose. And when something comes along and changes it up, you have to just keep after it, keep after it, keep after it until you find, you know, and actually it has to do with success is a habit. You know, mediocrity and failure are habits. A positive mental attitude is a habit. A negative mental attitude is a habit. Exercise is a habit. You know, not exercising is a habit. So falling out of things or getting into things, it's something that you may feel. I mean, really, there were times when I felt like, is this never going to happen? Am I never going to get back into this? But now I'm back into a regime of Pilates every single morning. So it's like, it became who I was. I was losing who I was. And I didn't want it to lose that habit. But if you keep committing that, and yours could be to you a whole lot more important than just getting back into an exercise program or getting into an exercise program. It took me a long time to get into an exercise program. But once I found it, I found it. So it's a matter of the habits that you're doing. Don't give up on them. Don't feel like, you know, well, this will never happen. You know, just keep plugging away. And if you want it and you just keep committing it to the Lord, it will become a habit.
It really will.
That's going to take you where you want to go.
Everything you're in the habit of doing right now.
There you go.
Is a habit. And by the same token, what you're not doing right now.
Yeah, and you want to be.
And want to be, you're in the habit of not doing it.
That's right.
So the only way to change a habit of not doing something is to start doing it. Is to start doing it.
Amen.
You have to make a decision to change. It'll take effort on your part. And create the right habits.
Right.
It'll help you move out of your comfort zone to a whole new level.
Isn't that what the kids do? Okay. Sorry.
Number five. Maybe you need somebody different in your foxhole.
There you go.
If you want to break free from your comfort zone, you need to be free from people who, well, maybe some of the people we've been hanging around.
Mm-mm.
And make no mistake, your attitude, speech, and behavior are directly affected by your friends.
That's
and
right.
If they're comfortable in their comfort zone, they're not going to want to move. They're not going to want to do anything. And when you're in the midst of the battle and somebody yells, incoming, It's important to know who's in that foxhole with you.
That's right. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 says, don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. And you could be friends with somebody, and you know, there are seasons of friends. Sometimes you just get together with people who are just growing and growing with you, and they're friends forever. And then sometimes, you know, I heard it said this one, sometimes people get on that train of yours and they ride for a while and then they get off. So it really just depends on what's going on in your life, what's going on in their life, and we're about to get into that really.
Yeah, we are. So the question is, do your friends encourage you?
There you go.
Discourage you? Ignore your dreams and hopes and plans for the future?
Or
do they build you up, edify you, exhort you in your most holy faith?
Amen.
See, you don't need anybody holding you back if you're trying to get out of a comfort zone. Holding is a penalty in football, and it should be in life as well. Holding people back.
Job 12, verse 4, the New Living Translation says, yet my friends laugh at me, for I call on God and expect an answer. I am just and blameless man, yet they laugh at me. Kind of reminds us of what's going on in politics right now. But anyway, that Vice President Pence said he had the nerve to say that God spoke to him and helped him. And I'm like, so he is now considered mentally insane. And I'm thinking, oh, there's a whole lot of insane people out there. Like, I'm right in there with them. But anyway, forgive me. But I mean, really and truly, God speaks to people. Anyway, I didn't mean to really get into all that. But okay,
that's
back
truth.
To friends.
That's
but
true.
There is just, it's like.
So okay. If God speaks to you.
You're right. You have a lot of good company.
Yeah, you have
Believe
a lot of
me,
good,
you're
company,
in good company.
And you'll be misunderstood by the world.
That's it. I'm sorry. But if
of course,
your friends.
They're probably being spoken to, but it's not by God.
Point being, you know.
If it's not God, you know who it is.
Who?
The devil.
Just wanted to be sure you. Okay. Got
Look,
that
make
out
no
there.
Mistake. From that scripture, if your friends are laughing at those who want more out of life,
there you go.
They're not going to be moving on with you. They're not going to be on your train.
That's right.
Because if your friends aren't encouraging you, empowering you, then you need to find some new friends.
That's it.
Now, some of those may be family members. Mm-hmm.
Makes it tougher.
Makes it tougher. I'm not saying get rid of these folks, necessarily.
But you might minimize some.
But I'd minimize their involvement in your life.
Exactly.
And you need people who are going to encourage you, exhort you, edify you, build you up, and that you know spiritually have your back. They're
right.
Praying for you.
Amen.
You know, they're on your team. And y'all all on God's team. That's what you need.
So we're all in this together.
So here's what you need to do. And I think I put this down in the notes. Get a sheet of paper, write down the following information about your seven closest friends. It will tell you who will be of value in helping you move.
Mm-hmm.
Out of your comfort zone and where you want to go in life.
That's right.
Now, don't panic if you don't come up with seven. I mean, might be three or four.
Some people have 20.
Some, yeah, might be 10 or 12.
Some have three.
But I like seven, so I use seven. That's my number.
That's it.
But see, friendship has to be mutually beneficial.
Amen.
And I emphasize the word beneficial because if it's not, something's out of balance.
That's right.
And I listed the questions you need to ask.
That's good.
Where you put the person's name. And then, what does this person add to my life? Am I free to add to their life as well? What's the greatest negative influence this person has on my life? What was the last positive idea, scripture, or thought this person shared with me? Do we motivate each other to be all that we can be in God? If you plan to get out of your comfort zone, then you need to, most of your friends,
friends need to be, it has to be, like Harold was saying, a mutually beneficial thing. Because the point of it being is that if you're not building each other up, if you're not, if it's not mutually, it should be mutually beneficial to both people. Both people need to be benefiting from the relationship or something's askew. So that's really, what we're getting at. Like Harold said, who's incoming? Who's in the foxhole with you? People that you can count on or just, or can you count them? Or have you kind of grown apart? There are times when you have to make hard decisions, when someone...
And let me tell you, I don't know if you've ever run into a friend that you knew in times past, and you're really close and tight with them, but now you run into them and you go...
What happened in the
interim? What happened? I've changed, they haven't,
Yeah. Or things have changed.
So, think about it.
And that doesn't make them, negative or positive, always. It just means that things have changed. Sometimes you can run into an old friend, pick up like you never missed a beat or missed a year. You just, keep on going. Others, it's different because you've just grown in different directions.
The next one. Ignorance is inactive while stupid. Well, stupid is as stupid does.
I think we could
actually
quote a movie.
Yeah, I know. If you're living in your comfort zone, it's because you don't know something, or you're not willing to do something with what you know. Mm. It's one of the two. If you don't know it, that's ignorance. If you know it but not doing anything with it, that's stupidity.
That's right. Not when it can do you good. Romans 1 verse 13 says, "Now I would have not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles."
According to Strong's Concordance, the word ignorance means not knowing.
Not knowing.
Ignorance
Sometimes we
is
just
not
don't
knowing
know.
Facts. That's it. But stupid is knowing the facts but choosing not to do anything with it. One of my favorite quotes by Benjamin Franklin, he said, "We're all born ignorant, but you have to work hard to stay stupid." And I like that. John Wayne also has a great quote on that, but I'm not recalling it at the moment. There is a cure for ignorance.
Yes.
Get knowledge. Get knowledge.
And the Lord talks about knowledge in the Word.
He does. If you lack knowledge, well, frankly, it's your fault because knowledge is available.
It's in the Word.
It's in the Word of God.
It is in the Word. Psalm 119, verse 66 in the New Living Translation talks about it. I believe in your commands. Now teach me good judgment and knowledge. He's always bringing up something new for us.
If you say, I don't like where I'm at in life, chances are there's something you don't know yet. How are you going to find it? You get in the Word of God. The Word of God has the answer to every question, every problem, every opportunity you'll ever face or experience.
Get knowledge and wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 4, verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding.
Increased wisdom will propel a person out of their comfort zone.
That's it.
Ignite them.
And knowledge is exciting.
Oh, yeah.
In other words, knowledge is motivational. Knowledge is what takes you where you're going to go, because when you learn something new, it's exciting to you. You think, wow, this is, I mean, when you're learning things, then you're always motivated.
I can't tell you how many times I'd read a verse one day, get something. Read it, same verse the next day, get something else.
Mm-hmm.
Read it the next day, something else. You know, the Word of God is like an onion. You just keep peeling off the layers. Peel them off, and you get it, and it just enriches your life.
And
now,
even if you're not, I don't want to interrupt your point. Even if you're not, maybe you just feel like, well, I'm reading this, but I don't know if I'm getting anything. I'm reading it, and I know I'm supposed to be reading it. Just keep reading it, because it says that the Holy Spirit brings back to our remembrance things as we need them. Maybe it's something that you're just reading at that point, but there'll come a point where it comes back to you and you go, wait, I remember reading that, and this is the time when you apply it. So don't, you know,
and if you
be discouraged if you're reading something and it's just not jumping off the page that day.
If you're somebody who says, well, I read it, but I just don't understand it.
Yeah.
Well, then stop reading that Bible and get one you can understand. You know, get a classic Amplified Bible or a New Living Translation. You know,
something that breaks it down.
Breaks it down to where you get a study Bible. I never read a King James Bible consistently until I got a Dakes Bible. And then I could understand everything that was being said in there. And D-A-K, Dake Bible. It's a great
D-A-K-E,
Bible. D-A-K-E,
isn't it?
Yeah, D-A-K-E.
Yeah,
okay.
They're good.
Increase your wisdom. We got to move along.
I know. You're right.
Seven questions I wrote down. You answer yes or no. Do you read your Bible on a daily basis?
Mm.
Should be yes. Question is, when do you read it? Do you work it in, or is there a specific time? Scripture says, seek Him early in the morning. That means first thing, early in the morning. Do you take notes on what you've read? Need to. That's how you learn. You know, it's like you go to church. Studies show that after you hear the pastor's sermon, that by the time you get to the parking lot, you forgot 75% of what you heard. By the next morning, of the 25% left, you only remember half of that. That's why you write notes. You take notes and write it down. And besides, let me tell you, if you're reading the Word, God's going to tell you things. He's going to reveal things to you. He really will.
Or bring them back to your
remembrance. Which is the next question.
That's right.
Does the Holy Spirit bring things to your remembrance as you read and take notes? So it should be yes. Are you reading any other book in the Bible other than the Bible at this very moment? Is the book motivational, inspirational, practical? Are you taking notes as you read it? Is the Holy Spirit stirring things as you read the book?
Mm-hmm.
If you answered no to more than one of these questions, you must enjoy living in your comfort zone, because that's where you are. So reflect on those questions.
Yeah.
Get wisdom to move from where you are to where God wants you to be.
Amen.
And that's most assuredly not in a comfort zone.
No.
Number seven.
I get pushed out often.
Yeah.
You
ever watch these nature films where the little bird, the mama pushes it out of the nest where it's got to fly?
Well, we watched some of that this week.
We did, Planet Earth.
Planet Earth, interesting.
Anyhow, Some of you just need to be pushed out of the nest.
Well, and you know what?
And that's what we're doing here.
This is what God's
we're
doing.
We're provoking.
Yeah, we are. And this really came to me. We were watching one on the Arctic, and it had, and these, no, it was, I take it back, it might have been the plains, who knows, antelope, and they are born, and they, their mothers are, you know, they wait for a certain period, and then they push them to walk, because they're going to soon be on the run all the time, and they have to know how to get up, get going, and stay up with the crowd, or they die. So they're, you know, they're pushed, and they're kind of encouraged, and then they have to, you know, be able to take off. And that's really what God does with his word, is he's encouraging us, and he's motivating us, and it depends on how far you want to go. And you can't get comfortable. You need to keep moving in the right direction. That's exciting. That was
Number 7, keep yourself motivated during your comfort zone exodus.
There you go.
Keep yourself motivated. What does it take to motivate you?
From mediocrity
to success.
To success.
From just getting by to having more than enough.
That's it.
From average to excellence. Mm. From your comfort zone to moving from glory
to
unto glory in
his
marvelous image.
Amen.
Are you motivated by visual images of a goal or a dream that you're seeking to attain or fulfill? Is there a picture that motivates you? What is it? Is it a picture, a photograph in a prominent place on your electronic toys or hanging on a refrigerator or mirror in a bathroom?
That's right.
And you know, people say, well, if you want to go on a trip, and get a picture of where you want to go. If you want a new car, put a picture of the car there. You know,
but whatever motivates you,
whatever motivates you,
getting you going,
and maybe you're motivated by a person,
yeah,
who speaks into your life.
That's right.
If you do, you know, recognize that.
Mm-hmm. A mentor.
Find out how and what motivates you, because that's how you get out of the comfort zone.
That's right.
And sometimes you just need to be blown out of the comfort zone. One more thing.
Oh, me. This is good at the end. This may surprise you.
This will surprise
you. But this
you.
Is
But
important.
One more thing about getting out of comfort zone. You need to learn to laugh along the way.
That's it.
You really do.
Boy, do you.
Laugh along the way.
It'll keep you younger, believe me. You could get a good laugh. You can put 5 years on your life.
Yeah.
Just get the quarterback.
Right? A good friend of mine, he's in church tonight, Clay. His mom, her laughter is contagious.
Goodness. It was wonderful. She put 5 years on her life just by that laugh, and she probably put a few on me just listening to her because it was so funny.
Proverbs 17:22 says,
a merry heart doeth good like medicine. And believe me, you want to stay young, be it a medicine. Medicine, you know,
I was good talking laughter. To a young man that used to work for us this past week, and he said he was going on a date with this new girl. He said, She's a Christian. It is priorities right. She's a Christian. She's attractive, and she makes me laugh.
There you go.
Never marry a woman that doesn't make you laugh.
That's
or, you know, or have a sense of humor.
There you go.
Maybe I'm overstepping on that, but that's what I feel like. You make me laugh.
You do need a sense of humor, because life, you're going to need a sense of humor to get through life.
And a smile.
That's right.
Phyllis Diller, the comic, said that a smile sets everything straight.
A smile is a curve that sets everything straight.
Is
you know, the curve that sets everything straight. Anyway, she was funny.
Laughter is a medicine that allows you to press forward even when you make mistakes.
That's right.
And
I think, go ahead. I mean, I love this story, and really and truly it was a great story about, and this is a real story, about a couple who got married, and they had a big, huge fight. And he went out to his pickup truck and jumped in, and she jumped in beside me and said, you know, I'm going with you. He wanted to get out of there, and she goes, yeah, I do too. I'm going with you. So, you know what? That's the way marriage is. There was a lot to that, you know. I mean, he was going to get out of this situation. You know, he's going to get out of there.
Away from the conflict.
And she goes, yep, I'm going with you. So, you know what? That's the way you have to approach things. And they both burst out laughing. And things, you know, you have to have a merry heart if you're going to live to be old.
Yeah, you got to learn to laugh, because
that's it.
You know, getting out of your comfort zone sometimes takes extra effort, and there's bumps and potholes along the way.
There are.
But if you're laughing, you can get through it.
And you're smiling.
That's when you're curve. Smiling, that's the whole curve. World smiles at you. That's my version of Louis Armstrong. Hallelujah. Stephen, is that visible?
Spiritual entrepreneur. That's what Harold mentioned earlier.
Great
informational guy.
One of my favorite books written.
Every time I edit one of his books, it's always my favorite because it's so good. It's so much good God information.
In fact, when I first wrote this, I wanted to charge $5,000 for it. But she told me I couldn't. She wouldn't even let me charge $500. So I charged $50 for a while. But then that was in a notebook form. Then we put it in this form. And can you still see it?
The point being, though, it's...
This book will change your life.
Yeah, and that's
It's 21 days. I've had people that did more than one. I don't know exactly how many, but three or four or five. I don't know how many they've told me.
It's true.
They did day one for a month. Did that one day for a month just to try to get it done.
A lot of good information.
And see, this is the whole concept. Do some 21 days, it becomes a habit.
That's it.
And
you want to go places.
And it's a mix of the scriptural and the practical. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it so good.
Amen.
Sales for $30.
Wow. It's really getting down there.
Or if you prefer $29.99.
$5,000 to $500 to
Here's what we'll do.
$30
For a gift of any amount. We'll send it to you.
That's sweet.
Yeah. Gift of any amount tonight or during this coming week. If you sow a seed, say, I want spiritual entrepreneur, and we'll give it to you as a gift. And if you can do the $30,
of course, you can do that. Nice.
Or if you can do more, that'll help us with folks who can't quite do 30. But anyhow, life changing. I may do these seminars. This is so good.
It's all good. You got so many, though.
I know. The two new ones are going to be good, too. Then here. And here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm working on you. Take your mouse, move to the top where it says sow a seed.
Got a lot going on.
Double click it. And just sow whatever God tells you to do.
Amen.
But... make no mistake. You need to join us tomorrow morning.
Oh, yeah.
At 8:30 Eastern.
You want to motivate yourself? This is it.
This is a habit. If you're not in the habit of watching Rich or listening to Rich Sauce for Breakfast, you need to do so. Tomorrow is entitled, Don't Block Your Blessings. Don't block your blessings.
You know you don't want to.
So.
Don't want to block those blessings.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I know what they're going to be the next couple of days. I was busy.
You have been a busy guy. All right, so.
I got a project I'm working on, and I need to get all this ahead so I can do it.
So, tomorrow morning, 8:30 Eastern. Next Sunday, tune in again. And until that time.
Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts. We appreciate you. We love you. We thank you so much for all your support and prayers.
And we pray for you.
Amen.
Every day. I do, sitting in the chair early in the morning. We love you. Good night.